Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution, in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Now, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, to start the meeting off this morning, Ruben, do you want to share?
Sure. G'day everyone, my name's Ruben and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Ruben.
Yeah, my experience with alcohol is that... when I first took that first drink, you know, I was at home in our household where mum and dad and family and friends, they would have parties. I was way too young, of age to drink at the time, but I was about 11, 12, I would say, somewhere around there, you know, where... You know, parties got out of hand and drinks were still left behind on the table and stuff in our household. And, you know, I started, you know, experimenting or whatever. You know, I started picking up that first drink or that drink and where it all began for me. Not only drink that I had, there was also other things as well. But, I drank and I picked it up and what it did for me was it just gave me that funny feeling, berry feeling and stuff, that sour bitterness taste thing, and I didn't think of it at the time. But then, you know, as the weeks went on, then more parties and then more booze. So then, you know, I got a liking to it. And so that was my first introduction with alcohol. It was through home. And as I was growing up in I was 15, 16, my teens at the time. And back then we would, I hardly went to school and stuff. So, I would want more. I would be craving for more alcohol and stuff like that. With my friends and that, then, you know, I would go to school functions and stuff like that, and I wouldn't go sober. We would always turn up pissed or drunk, you know, after stealing alcohol or booze from home or from, you know, friends' places and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, and then as years went on, I was at about in my 20s, you know, things started really escalating, and that then I found myself getting into trouble. I found myself in an institution in the boys' home first and then ended up in prison. So put that down, that wasn't always due to alcohol. There was some of it was all because of me being, you know, acting like a fool and lying, cheating and stealing and stuff. But when I came out, you know, of jail, I thought, you know, then at the time, you know, this drinking would slow me down when I got out. And what it had done for me, you know, I just kept on going and kept on drinking even more. By the time I was 23, I had my first child with my partner then. And, you know, I felt really on top of the moon and that having our child come into this world And that I thought, and then my friends would tell me, well, now, Reuben, that's it for you. You're going to have to slow right down for your drinking. You won't be able to go out, come with us and our parties and all that fun stuff would go. It did for a little while. You know, I tried to be the parent that I tried, to have the best of my ability, but all that fell through the cracks. I ended up, you know, with my family, they came from first to last. What had actually happened was, for me, the drinking had come first. I put the bottle before my family, and in the end, as an end result of that, my drinking, I had lost completely. I lost them, you know, and I ended up winding up again how and where and when what happened. I love my booze, you know, I really did. I had a lot of great times with it, and how am I going to give that up was something that I was born into, more or less. I tried every other way of trying to stop. I went to other places and that didn't seem to work. I also, you know, had friends and family who were willing to help me because of my drinking, and I didn't see that. And I was telling them that the drinking wasn't the problem. I'd pushed them away. I didn't want to hear nothing of it. I thought they were full of it. You know, you didn't tell me what to do. I'm okay, leave me alone. But what actually was happening to me when I was drinking, I ended up alone. And that place of, you know, isolation, as they call it. I didn't know what that meant at the time. Isolation, I thought, was just getting left out, not part of. But what was it doing for me was, I was pushing away with, like, the curtains were closed and I didn't want anything. And what was the alcohol doing towards me? I didn't know that. So how it came about for me, Alcoholics Anonymous, I was so desperate that, you know, I had my rock bottom. And I was on probation at the time too, and she recommended me, Reuben, to go and have a look at this place. It's it's a live-in place, you know, like the bridge. It's a bridge program. So I went there, and you know, she made an appointment for me, and then I asked them, well, what do they do? They said it's a place for, you know, if you want to come in and a place to stay. And then we'll talk about problems and whatever, you know. And I didn't want to do all that stuff. But what happened was, for me, they asked me to go down the road, and there was another place called Wings, the treatment centre down there. So, you know, I went there, and they said to me, can I stay sober for 2 weeks? And I admit, I couldn't even stay sober for 2 or 3 days. You know, I was so struggling on that time. But that gave me the incentive to go out and buy some more beer before my actual date. So, you know, I went back and said to them, did you say to me? Yes. I had to lie. I was a lie anyway. But I had no way out to go. And they said, well, there's a room here. We've got you. And you can come in. So I rocked up there with just a suitcase in my bag and, you know, a couple of clothes. And they sent me down to this house, and I got myself, you know, sort of like all comfy and all that sort of thing. What it done for me was, the treatment set me up for, like, you know, having the proper meals at times this time around, you know, breakfast, lunch and tea. I didn't know that. My recovery stage was beginning, and I had to adjust myself to that sort of, you know, lifestyle again, because out there, I had lost the complete control of everything. So I went there and did all the suggested stuff, but then they said to me, this is where the part of the Alcoholics Anonymous comes in. We had to do meetings of AA, and I didn't know what that meant. So I went there on my first meeting called Alcoholics Anonymous. I went into this meeting, and I sat down at the door, and I could hear these guys sharing their stories and their, you know, their problems with alcohol and stuff, and I'm going, oh, well. For me, nothing. I didn't hear a thing. That was because my head was full of distraught anger, bitter and twisted when I walked in there. But what I had was keep coming back. That gets better. And whilst in treatment, you know, I was there for 8 months. So within those 8 months, I did quite a bit of AA meetings and, yeah, you know, I could identify with the sharing with the stories. But then they said to me, Reverend, you know, then I heard about the sponsorship, I heard about a home group, and I heard about, you know, the fellowship, getting numbers, you know, talking to another alcoholic and all this other stuff. Things that I struggled with, like doing service, but that came in due time. And I got me a sponsor in the end, got me a home group. And this sponsor asked him if he could take me through, you know, the program. So we did, you know, and then we looked. I looked at with him the first step, you know, and then I got through the first step, second, third, then the fourth step, you know. If you're new in the rooms, you know, you get to go through these steps with your sponsor. And, you know, the sponsor's there just for me to guide me and to help me to work the steps in the program. So, yeah, you know, that was the best thing that ever could happen to me. And what it is, and what it is still doing for me, is the program of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, and, you know, for me, I got to meet a lot of new people, friends and that, not so good friends, some friends, and that's okay too, you know. Yeah, so my sobriety date is not to, you know, to, well, I don't know, not to be bragged about for me, but, you know, my sort of sponsor said, when you tell them, you know, your sobriety date, and it could help someone, you never just know. So, yeah, though back then for me it was 2005 when I came through the treatment of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, from there to where I'm there now, you know, wow, I didn't do this on my own. I had a lot of help, you know, because... Well, I didn't want to go back to where I had come from. You know, that was my... Because I knew what would happen if I did go back out there. Yeah, you know. But for me, and AA is just for today. You know, it's only 24 hours, and if I can do that, you know, that day, thank my God of my own understanding. You know, my God, not yours, well... If you got one, you know. Then it's just, for me, it's just keeping it in the day and not to try and get too far ahead myself. So, yeah, you know, they say you never leave before the miracle happens. I couldn't get that for me. So every time I, you know, I finish off, at a meeting, I, you know, just wait, hang around and talk to the other members and whatnot. That's what I done, you know. And if not, you know, you can, there's always other meetings that are around, and there's so many meetings around Alcoholics Anonymous, and yeah, so I wish you guys all the best out there, and thank you for letting me share. Thanks.
Thanks, Reuben.
Thanks, Reuben. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. To carry on with the sharing, Ken, do you want to share?
Yes, thanks. My name's Ken. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ken.
And it's interesting, like Reuben, I discovered my... taste for alcohol at an early time. I was a perfect candidate, looking back, for alcoholism, because I was a very anxious child who often felt uncomfortable and unaccepted by other people. But when I drank for the first time, maybe at age 12 or so, that all changed. I felt really comfortable with myself and experienced a relaxation that I really had not experienced so much before. So starting at a very early age, I brought alcohol into my life, and it became my medication, so to speak. And in my own background, it's interesting looking back that in my late teens, I recall that I had a failed relationship at that time, and for a number of reasons, found that all very difficult to cope with. So I attempted a kind of suicide by taking an overdose of medication, which fortunately was not critical, but I did require hospitalization, and I went into a psychiatric unit for a few weeks. Interestingly, I was actually working at the same time. Prior to that, I'd been in a psychiatric institute as an institutional attendant. So anyway, I came out of the program, and in those days there was really no treatment as such. So I carried on, and I turned to alcohol then in my late teens as a way of medicating myself. It became my emotional anesthetic. And so I took this on through my life. Alcoholism is a progressive disease. I didn't drink like other people. I lived to drink. I would go to a band practice. I played in a brass band in Canada, and I would enjoy the band practice. But my real anticipation was for the drinks that we were going to get afterwards. So I went on in life, and I graduated from university, and I became a teacher, and I worked hard, and on the one hand succeeded in some respects in my career, but on the other hand I was bringing alcohol with me and progressively needing the booze in order to function. So I lived a very complicated life in which I didn't drink like other people. I needed to drink a lot more, and so I would do rehearsals on the way to the pub. I would drink on the way to the pub. I'd drink in the pub. I'd drink at home. I had booze hidden in my car and in the garage, and I guess we've heard stories like this, but like Reuben, booze became my priority really in life, I actually got to the point where I needed to conceal my drinking and lie about my drinking. My wife would say, "Oh, geez, what's wrong with you? You've only had one beer and you look like you're drunk or something." And of course, I'd had a lot more than that. Every day I had more than that. But, more recently, I would need to drink in order to function in meetings, and I would drink during work and after work to excess. So finally it got to a point a few years ago where there was, where I had health issues, and actually, you know, I started my journey through AA many years ago, you know, maybe 15 years ago. But here I am now. I've had 400 days of continuous sobriety, a little more than that. October the 31st, gosh, what year is it? 2 years ago now that I had, you know, my first sobriety, or continuous sobriety anyway, for 400 plus days. And one of the biggest sort of challenges for me, you know, is being true to myself. I, you know, there was a couple of times in my sobriety where I'd say, well, look at, I think I can manage this, you know, like I'm a intelligent sort of person and I should be able to manage this, so I'll just give it a go. But every time, you know, I would experience failure, and I would be very, you know, let down with myself, and disappointed then. And so I'm at a point now where I'm maintaining continuous sobriety. And for me, you know, I went to AA originally to stop drinking, but in fact, I needed to learn how to live a sober life, because my life was always overtaken by booze. I mean, I would drink and drive. I would, you know, pick up my children and go out. And, you know, alcohol was always in my system, really. And so I had every day the priority was, you know, getting some drinks. And so I would do some sneaky drinking during the day. And then later on, you know, starting at 3 or 4 p.m., I'd start my daily drinking spree. And so really I had limited experience with sobriety. And, you know, in AA we talk about the fact that one of the benefits of sobriety is being able to achieve some peace, some serenity. And I can actually say that I've found some of that, like for the first time, in that I'm not, my life is not controlled by alcohol. I used to think before, oh, well, I can control my life and make decisions about my drinking, and I choose to drink, I would say, you know, before, and that's my right, is being able. But in fact, you know, what I didn't realize is how much that the alcohol was controlling me and damaging my life. And so in my relationship and my life, I lived on the edge. I would get drunk and run away and, you know, have fights with people over different issues and things, and send emails that were damaging and whatnot to others. And so it was not a good life, because that coupled with, you know, I needed to, you know, tell lies and maintain my, you know, apparent sobriety, when in fact I was half pissed. And so that was the sort of pattern. But I'm enjoying being available for my family, and I got a wonderful relationship with my granddaughter who lives with us. And you know, I go out. I thought it would be terrible to go out to events where they were serving booze, but it doesn't bother me now, because I look at it and see that I have a progressive disease called alcoholism, and I don't drink like others. You know, one's too many and a thousand's not enough. And so I go out and I'm quite happy and content now in my sobriety to know where I've been and what I've been doing. I remember going over the Harbor Bridge and driving home and then wondering how I got home. You know, I woke up on the couch and went out to see that the car was there. Well, goodness, you know, I mean, those kind of blackouts are scary. I had to look at the accounts to see where I was last night. And then I see I went to McDonald's four times. You know, I mean, this is crazy behavior. And so now it's, you know, I've been able to put it to rest, but I need to be vigilant like every day. Thank God it's a 24-hour program because... And what I do is the suggested things every day. You know, I get up and I do a daily reflection, and often that little reading speaks to me about something that I need to attend to, and gets me set for the day. And I have a sponsor who's actually a friend and a sponsor. We have coffee once a week, and he challenges me and encourages me in my own journey of recovery. But what I like about AA is, you know, it's a lifelong journey. It's not something that you just get a certificate and graduate from. You know, it's a learning experience, and I can see all the similarities, like just listening to Ruben in terms of, you know, how the booze has overtaken our lives. And so I'm grateful to be sober and to have put my alcoholism into recess. But I fortunately now realize that that I must be vigilant, and that it's a 24-hour program. And so I maintain my spiritual condition by doing all of the suggested things. And in fact, I really enjoy, you know, going to a meeting and being able to share and learning so much from what other people share. And nobody judges me, or, you know, that's the whole point about AA, is that there is no judgment. You can be yourself, and you can go to a meeting and you can share your experience, strength, and hope, and you know, others listen to you, and you know, you have a chance to say, hey, that's like me, or hey, that's something that I could do to help me, you know, in my life. And so I would encourage you all to, you know, if you're listening to this program and you admit that alcohol is a problem in your life, and that perhaps you're powerless over alcohol, to, you know, come on in and have a look at AA like I did. And it's been a really good road to recovering my sober life. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Thanks, Ken.
You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, a few things you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz, and on the button in the meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.